You may be seated. While you're seated somewhere in the house, Ashleen Howard is here, and she's one of our elementary, high school, college, and she's teaching up in Washington, Tacoma area. We're glad, wherever you are. I talked to her earlier. We're glad you're back home tonight. I told you last time that I am speaking my last message on how to move the heart of God, and tonight I'm telling you that this is my last message on how to move the heart of God. I have some others I'd like to come, but this is my ninth time with you on this subject. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll use our Bibles to turn tonight. And it's a very simple thought, but it's one that most of us in life have a very difficult time conquering. Sharon, thank you for playing. That was beautiful tonight. I was just telling the fellas we were singing, what a great crowd here tonight. We have a lot of vacations, so many vacations. And I'm so thankful that you're faithful. And I hope that your effort to come tonight, I know many of you have not been home, and I hope that your effort is not in vain. And I look forward to this time together. Lord, I love these people so much, and I pray that we would be helped tonight from the Word of God, how to move the heart of God. We have seen these lessons thus far. And I pray that tonight we would have another lesson that would help us, a truth that we'd put in our heart and apply it. So, God, that we might be recipients of your blessings so that others could be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we move the heart of God? Well, one, we saw through tears. And there's many illustrations. Hezekiah moved God's heart that way, and Mary and Martha moved God's heart that way. And then through fasting, this kind cometh about by prayer and fasting. And then by righteousness, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 9, God's eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them who are righteous. Righteous people. He's looking for righteous people, people that do right. And then he honors faith and will move his heart by faith. And then the Bible, those that adhere to the Bible. And then souls, when we win souls to Jesus Christ and seek to win others to Christ. And then we saw a lesson on, I can move the heart of God through a strong marriage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that our prayers, husbands and wives, would be not hindered. And we mirrored that in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 regarding the church. Your love and devotion to your church shows your love and devotion to your wife or to your husband. And those go hand in hand together. This is a great mystery, this thing of marriage and the church. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then we saw last lesson, number 8, how do we move the heart of God when there's harmony with God's people? When there's disunity, don't expect to get the heart of God. You know, tonight, and God forbid, terrible illustration. Mrs. Treber and I are blessed with 13 grandchildren. If one of those emergencies tonight are in emergency and they need a divine touch to make it through the night. If something should happen, I'd want to be able to get a hold of God. I would not want to have to call Brother so-and-so and say, I've had aught in my heart against you. I would not want to call a deacon and say, I've been angry at you and had a bitter spirit towards you. I'd not want to have a bitter spirit toward my wife or anybody. I'd want to be so right with God that if one of our kids would call and say, please, Dad, Mom, pray. And it's a terrible illustration. It's a terrible illustration. I hate the thought of it. I can think of times in this church. I can think of that awful accident the Gochows were in and that call. And just beginning to pray, make my way to the hospital. I think of that awful night, Brother Carl Hardy, you had that massive heart attack and immediately got to the hospital on that Friday night years ago and had to get a hold of God, and his family did. I'm glad we didn't have to get things right, patched up with the family. And now that's been years ago. Tonight I want to move God's heart. I want God to so pour his blessing on my life that God's people could be the recipients. That God's people could have a good Christian school, could have a great college, could have a radio station and live stream and music and programs and soul winning and a bus ministry where we could serve God and Sunday school and a place where we could sing in the choir and shout. I love youth conference, but it's the one Sunday a year I don't get to hear the choir. There's no room up here. There'll be no room for a choir. And that's the only thing about youth conference I don't like. I love the choir. And to hear that choir, I want to move the heart of God. Tonight's a very easy lesson, but one we have a difficult time with. How do I move God's heart? With the first lesson every child must learn in life. It's a father's responsibility. It's a mother's responsibility. The first lesson that a child must have and that a child of God must have as well. The first lesson in life that a child must learn is obedience. God cannot bless a disobedient Christian. You mark it down. One time years ago when our children were young, I said, kids, and something happened. One of them was crying. And I said, kids, do you ever notice that when you disobey, normally tears come with that? Have you figured that out? It might be because they get hurt or because of a spanking or because they get upset with one another. But it seemed like, I said, doesn't it seem like when you disobey, there's always consequences? And the same is true for their dad. When I disobey, there's consequences. And tonight we want to see in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll have you turn in a moment to other scriptures. Ephesians 6, 1, would you read verse 1 with me? Ready, begin. Children, obey. We sing in elementary chapel. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands and doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. See, when the Spirit of God tonight, he says, you ought to use that altar tonight. You ought to be a soul winner. You ought to serve in the bus ministry. You ought to be a mechanic. You ought to be in the choir. You ought to help in the nursery. You ought to help at youth conference. And the Spirit of God speaks to your heart on what the preacher's preaching are a whole other subject. You know what we ought to do? Obey every spiritual impulse. Obey. Just obey. And doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily, action is key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus, please? Are we doing what we're told to do as a Christian? Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. As you turn to Exodus 19, I'm going to invite you to read with me. If you read through Exodus, it is an interesting, I have it all marked. God says, Moses, come up hither. He went up. God says, Moses, go down. He went down. Moses, come back up. He went up. Moses, go down and tell the people. Moses going up and down and up and down and up and down. The next time you read Exodus, look what he says. It's just constant. God says up, Moses go down. You go down there and tell these people what I told them. Notice what he says in Exodus 19. We are going to read verse 5, 6, and 7 together. We're talking about obedience tonight is the way to move the heart of God. Verse 5, watch how we can move the heart of God. Ready? Begin. For if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord Isn't it interesting, verse 8, all that the Lord hath commanded, we will do. We will obey that. We are going to do that. What you've told us right here in your word, Moses, we're going to obey that. God says, I'll make you a very special people. I'll make you a very peculiar people. You'll stand out above all other types of people. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. Genesis chapter 12. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy just simply means the words. And so we're going to Deuteronomy, or the book of words, and in chapter number 11. Deuteronomy 11. How do I move the heart of God? One word tonight, class. What is it, church? Obey. Obey. How do I move the heart of God? Say it together. One, two, three. Obey. Children, obey. Israel, obey. Here it is, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're going to begin in verse 26 tonight. 26, 27, 28. I'll start with you, but I'll lay out because I love to hear you read. And so if someone's in the sound room, make sure the microphones are up in the auditorium so our listeners can hear our people read. We're in verse 26 where it begins the word behold. Ready? Begin. Behold. If I obey, according to the verse, I obey, what comes? What comes if I obey? Blessing, thank you. If I obey, a blessing comes. If I disobey, what comes? Curse. You know, I wonder as children, myself included when I was a child, why could we not figure that thing out with our parents? Why could we not figure out that it's better to obey than to sacrifice? It's better to obey than make excuses. And God brings blessing through obedience. What is God telling you to do? What is God, Dad, telling you to do with your children? So many times, and I thank God for the fact that men are getting called to preach and all that. I think many times many of you men have missed that opportunity because you now are desiring your desire, but you're going to throw away or cause a real burden on your wife and children that you may have missed that for right now. Raise your family up for God. I'd be very careful. Your kids need a youth group like this. Your kids need a church like this. Your kids need a choir like this. Your kids need opportunities to serve God. And you know, some of you are 35 or 40 or 45, and God bless you. I thank God for willingness to trust God. But finish raising your kids the next 10 years and you'll still be young. I've watched so many men throw their children away at the expense, and I'm careful to say this, because we get so caught up in a vision for our life, we miss a vision for our kids. And that's said very carefully. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12, please. 1 Samuel chapter 12 is the first of all the double books in the Old Testament. God wants obedience. Perhaps, Dad, God is calling you to be a prayer warrior for your son, or a prayer warrior for your daughter. God is calling you to be a father that's engaged in their life and teaching them and loving them and encouraging them. Be there for them. In 1 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 14, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him, and what's the next word, church? Obey what? His voice. And not rebel against the commandments of the Lord. Then shall ye both, ye and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey, God desires, God demands obedience. Turn with me to chapter 15 in this book where you are right now. Chapter 15. Verse 1, Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord hath sent me to anoint thee to be king. First order of business. Verse 3, first order of business. The new king, first order. All he has to do is obey. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. That's all he had to do. Obey God. The Amalekites, you have to destroy them. You know, if we disobey God, that's what we disobey is probably going to come back and bite us. Notice what he says in verse number 9. But Saul, first responsibility as a new king. And the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. They would not utterly destroy them. That's called disobedience. That's disobedience. Look at verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, isn't it something how we can deceive ourselves? Saul said to Samuel, yes, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. But he did not. In verse 22, he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. He said, I'm going to use this for religious opportunities. No, he says, no. Samuel said, no, you missed it. For the rebellion of is as sin. For rebellion is as the sin, verse 23, of witchcraft and stubbornness of iniquity. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Isn't it amazing how he blames someone else? Turn with me and go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel 1. The Amalekites were to be destroyed. First responsibility was to destroy the Amalekites. Elimelech was to be destroyed. Amalek was to be utterly destroyed. He disobeyed. As you close out 1 Samuel 31, moving into 2 Samuel, Saul and his three sons, Jonathan are one of is one, are on Mount Gilboa. On Mount Gilboa, they fought a fight and lost the battle. Saul's three boys were dead. He was wounded, but not dead. Isn't it an amazing thing? You get to chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, and the Bible says on that mount, verse 6, a young man that told unto him, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned on his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind, he saw me, and called on me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an, what's the word? Who was he supposed to destroy? This boy wasn't even supposed to be alive. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me. Anguish has come upon me. So I stood upon him and slew him. When David heard this news, he took hold of his clothes, verse 11, and rent them likewise all, and they mourned and they wept. And David said to the young man, verse 13, whence art thou? And he said, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how was it that thou wast afraid to stretch forth thy hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall on him. And he smote him, and he died. He said, the blood be on your head. The man that killed Saul was the man that Saul refused to obey God. And in death, another illustration, I disobeyed God. Jeremiah chapter 11. You're listening so good. Thank you so much. I won't be much longer. Jeremiah 11. In Jeremiah chapter 11, my Bible says this in verse number 4. I command your fathers. I've been studying this week on fathers for Father's Day. It's amazing how God always comes to the dads. brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people. I will be your God. That is, you obey, I reward. You move my heart. Chapter 12. And look what the Bible says in verse number 17 of Jeremiah. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. God says what I'm going to do. I don't care who we vote into office. I don't care what kind of judges we get. I don't care how strong our defense is. When we rebel against God, there are consequences, America. Notice what it says in chapter 42. This is the last place I'll have you turn for now, for tonight. Chapter 42, please. Let us read one verse together in 42. I'll read another one in a moment, but chapter 42, verse number 6. Will you read that with me? Jeremiah 42, 6. You have it? Ready? Begin. Whether it be good
or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee. Thank you, Lord, with us, when we obey the voice of the Lord our God.
Hey, church tonight, when is it well with me? And when is it well with you? And when is it well with us? We have to do one thing. He says it there. What do we have to do? Obey. God says it's going to be okay. How about in that chapter, verse 13? But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, say no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, or the hunger of the bread. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you. Why? Because of disobedience. God says, I promise I can bless you. In the Bible, when God asks us to do something, he always will supply the means, the materials, the miracles, but it's all based and predicated upon obedience. I am so thankful that we have the children's program through third grade, but I'm grateful this summer for this basically 1 hour Wednesday night service. We have fourth, fifth, and sixth in here with the teenagers and young people, teenagers as well. You can trace your life and its success and its blessing from God upon the subject of obedience. It's summer. You've been home almost a month, I guess. I don't know how long yet, maybe 3 weeks or so, out of school. And you know that it's beginning to get a little wearing on your mother and dad, perhaps, because you just don't obey. And as children, we all disobeyed. I know there are times I disobeyed where no one's perfect. But if you're like me, somewhere along the line, a real sincere love developed in my heart toward my mother and dad. I truly believe it was my last spanking I got. My dad was the old school. He gave those spankings. It was the old-fashioned way. He was never in anger. He was never out of control. He was never unkind. But I can remember, this is old-fashioned, I know. We used to sing reading and writing and arithmetic taught on the tune of a hickory stick. My dad would always take his belt off. Just the sound of the belt. That was America. I mean, that's the way it was in America. He didn't start wheeling that thing around. He would say these words, son, this, you know the rest of that statement, is going to hurt me more than it. I can tell you, when he would say that to me in first and second grade, I got mad in my heart. I'd get so mad at him. I'd have to be born in a home like this, just a little kid, angry in my heart. I took the spanking, but I was mad. And I was not glad he was my dad. And my mother, she spanked more than my dad did. I hated it. And I think I had a degree where almost a hatred toward them for those moments. And one day, I don't know what grade, third grade, I was young, second grade perhaps, I got off his knee in my room. We always did it the same way. And he made me stay in my room. And then I had to go out and see him when I got things all settled down, and he restored that fellowship. And it could not have been third, it had to be second. And when I got up off his knee and he was putting his belt up, I saw tears coming down that jolly man's face. And you know, that moment in my life was pivotal. It broke my heart that I hurt him. I wish I could say from that day forward I was perfect. But as far as I know, I never had another spanking. As far as I know, I never deliberately tried to ever hurt him or my mother after that. I know I had to. I wanted to obey. Young people, can you imagine your life without your mother or your dad? Some adults in this room, and even younger, some adults, I just saw David, you know what it's like to lose your dad suddenly. Brother Allen, I just saw, you know what it's like to lose your dad suddenly while in high school. You know what that's like. There's scores of you that dad was there and then gone, or mother was there and then gone. If you have a mother, you love her while you can. And obey her. Obey her. As we think of what should we should obey the Bible. Everything that's written, we ought to obey it. We should obey the Holy Spirit because He still speaks. And we should obey authority. Hebrews 13:7. Obey them that have the rule over you, who watch for your souls. Mothers and dads, I'm not suggesting school teachers and professors are perfect, but stop the conflict. Doesn't mean you cannot have an appointment with the principal. Does not mean you cannot have an appointment with administration. Does not mean you cannot have an appointment with the school teachers. But you go in with a very tender heart and say, I want to get to the bottom of this. And will you tell me from a perspective of a teacher? Brother Andy Harrell used to always say here, oh, always stand on the side of authority. That helped me so much. I want to challenge you tonight. Obey your parents. Obey your employer, myself included. Let's obey our spiritual leaders. And as we obey God and God's word and God's Holy Spirit, who is God, and we obey authority, God says, there's a source. I can bless that person. Because God blesses obedience. Let's stand, please, together. Father,